The Conservative Free Will Baptist of North Carolina held a Bible conference down at Carolina Bible Institute, and I appreciate Rita was present for the morning session, or the afternoon, early afternoon session that we had, and Chris and I had an opportunity for the rest of the conference to be together and to share in that time frame. Brother Bobby Jackson, who is a Free Will Baptist of the National Association, brought a tremendous brought four messages, tremendous messages. He took us all the way from Revelation, brought us all the way through Revelation to I beg your pardon, from Genesis, all the way through Revelation over a four sessions, four times that he shared with us, and it was a wonderful blessing to me, and I'm sure Chris will also testify that it was a wonderful blessing to him. Conservative Free Will Baptist of North Carolina believe in the Scriptures. We believe the Scriptures are the Word of God from Genesis all the way through Revelation. We don't believe that Isaiah wrote the first 40 verses of the book of Isaiah and somebody else wrote the last 29 books or 27 books of Isaiah. We believe that Isaiah himself wrote those Scriptures. Today there are those that believe that there were two Isaiahs, one who wrote the first 40 chapters, and then there was or 40 chapters, and then somebody else wrote the last part. We don't believe that. We believe Jonah was a real person. We believe that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, just as the Lord Jesus Christ confirmed, and we don't believe it's a myth. We believe when the Scripture says it that we believe it. We believe it's true. We believe the Holy Scriptures were inspired of God, every word. And when Paul wrote, we believe Paul wrote with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when he gave his opinion, he said he was giving his opinion. And so the Conservative Free Will Baptist of North Carolina stand upon the Word of God. We believe the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. This morning, but I do appreciate the those that... we had a good turnout at all four sessions. We were really, really appreciative of all those that that came and supported the Bible conference, our first Bible conference, by the way, and it was a great blessing. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 21, the last chapter of the book of John. The last chapter of the book of John, this is God's third appearance, the Lord Jesus Christ's third appearance to his disciples as after the resurrection. It's a marvelous fellowship, a marvelous report of the disciples and what they had to do something. They just felt like they're waiting on the Lord Jesus, and yet while they're waiting on the Lord Jesus, they just needed to do something. And while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to come back again, we need to be doing something, don't we? We need to be walking, we need to be talking as though we know and we have a relationship with the creator of this universe. In our work area, in our family, or among our family, people need to see the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily life as we wait upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. Last Sunday we shared with you about the, Sunday before last we shared with you about the very thing that... that Jeanette shared with our young people this morning about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and how sad and discouraged they were because they had not seen the risen Christ. They had heard about the fact that the Christ had risen, but they hadn't seen him. And so you read that portion of Scriptures, Luke chapter 24, you'll find that Jesus came alongside them, complete stranger to them. He did not; they didn't recognize him. Of course, that was God's doing. He withheld their vision so that they could not; they wouldn't be able to recognize him. And all the way for seven miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, what did God do? What did Christ do? Did anybody tell me what he did? What did he share with those disciples? The Scriptures. He shared the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ could have dropped the veils on their eyes, and he could have just appeared to them, and they would have said, "Oh, praise the Lord, the Lord has risen." But he didn't do that. He walked along with them for 7 miles, and he brought their minds to the Scriptures. And he says, "Oh, slow of heart and foolish, not to believe all that the prophets have written about me." My friends, let me tell you something. The Old Testament is the Word of God. The New Testament is the Word of God. The promises in the New Testament are assured today as they were when Christ spoke them into existence. And we have wonderful promises of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's coming back again, and I trust that that's going to happen But while we're waiting on His coming, we need to be working. We need to be walking in such a way as to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, it says, "After these things Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself." It's been about 2 weeks, possibly 2 weeks, at least 8 days since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is probably about, could be 2 weeks after His resurrection, the Lord Jesus will appear again to His disciples. It says, verse 2 says, "There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and two other of His disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto Him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught," what? "Nothing." They caught nothing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know You as our personal Savior. How wonderful it is, Father, to know that this world is not our home, but we're just passing through. Father, by and by, each day, we see misery and torment and pain and suffering and agony and just such miserable conditions throughout the world, Father, in the hearts of men, wickedness and immorality. And Lord, we just know that by and by, The eastern sky is going to split. The Lord Jesus is going to descend, and we're going to be caught up to be, the church is going to be caught up to be with You in the air. And Father, our job, as You have called us, as You've called us into the kingdom, into Your kingdom, Father, You've called us to reach out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with this very lost and dying world. You didn't call us to turn this world around for the Lord Jesus Christ, as so many people seem to think, that if the church would just bind together, we could turn the world around for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Father, You have condemned this world. This world is on its way to hell. You have called us to simply reach out to our neighbor and to share with them the simple truth of the gospel message. And Father, how in the world can we, as Christians, can we live day by day and not think about our lost neighbors? Father, the harvest is great, and yet the laborers are few. So Father, this morning, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, never made that personal commitment, I pray today that the Holy Spirit would knock upon that heart's door, and that individual would open their heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, Father, into the kingdom of God. And then Father, too, if there's Christians here this morning who are only concerned about Christian things or religious things on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or Sunday night, and then they go out into the world and they live for the world, Father, I pray today their hearts will be convicted, that they come to realize that in the world is where Christ needs to be seen, not so much inside this church sanctuary. We can all be Christians inside the church sanctuary. It's out in the world where people need to see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ just shining through wonderfully in the hearts and in the actions and in the communication of Christian brothers and sisters. Father, this morning we pray that You would minister in a wonderful way. Bless us, Father. Bless us as we share in Your word, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be lifted up. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Here we have seven men who probably all of their lives have been fishermen. And so they're experienced in that profession. They go out into the sea at the right time, the evening, when fishing is good. They have the necessary means to bring a good catch. They've got the ship, they've got their nets, and yet after fishing all night, the Bible says, they caught nothing. One commentary I was reading said, they caught very few fish. Well, that's not what the Scripture says, is it? The Scripture says they caught nothing. And my friends, that's a miracle. That's a miracle in itself, to go out with massive nets and not catch anything. This is a miracle in itself. Massive nets, perfect locations, right time of the evening, ample experience, and they just caught a few meager fish. Nope. The Bible says they caught nothing. Now let me ask you a question. Who was it that said, I go a-fishing? That's right. That's right. Peter said, I go a-fishing. And what did the other disciples do? They followed him right along. They followed him right along. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter when he first met him along the Sea of Galilee? Well, let me share it with you. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, you need not turn there. I'll read it for you myself. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them." And the Bible says, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." Let me share this. No matter what our profession, our experience in life's work, or our abilities to be successful in that work, if we have met the Master, our first and foremost obligation in this life is to be a witness to others on His behalf. That's right. To be a witness to others on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, many Christians are very much like Peter in this setting. We are waiting for Christ to come, but we are doing precious little to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ while we wait. Peter, many believe, was tired of just waiting. He had to do something, so he said, "I'm going fishing." And so he hung a sign over his house, the door to his house. Well, then, and you know what that sign said? "Gone fishing." Told Martha when we took our little vacation, I let her know one of the things I was going to do was go fishing. Somehow, I didn't go fishing. But I did a lot of other things that Martha had on her mind. But it was I was give out by the time the vacation was over with. What was that? I know it. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And the others followed his leadership. The others followed his example. How many of us in our Christian walk have decided to just hang a sign out over the doorway of our life announcing that we've gone fishing? How did the fishing go? Didn't go very well. Didn't go very well at all. Let me say again, to catch nothing the whole night, not one fish, was a miracle. Verse 4 says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto him, Children, have you any meat?" In other words, have you been successful in your work? Well, they hadn't been. Don't get me wrong here when I paraphrase, "Have you been successful in your work?" I don't believe in the current day prosperity gospel. You know, you hear that preached by so many today. Prosperity gospel. You give and Christ is going to give to you. That's a truth. But let me tell you this, my friend. If you're making a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to get, you're not meeting the Lord Jesus Christ the way He wants you to meet Him. You're not meeting the Lord Jesus Christ the way He wants you to. Many people today are making a false commitment to Christ just to see a miracle work in their lives. New health, fat checkbook, great success in business. And this is not the gospel of the New Testament. Christ didn't suffer, bleed, and die on the cross that you might drive a Rolls Royce or live in a mansion on a hill or enjoy all the creature comforts of this world. In fact, the Bible teaches us that this world is passing away and the goods of it. But what lasts forever? The Word of God. The Word of God remains forever. Christ died on Calvary to provide for you and for me a way out of this condemned world and into a glorious kingdom that this world has never seen before or it will ever see again. But we must confess our sins and acknowledge our need for Him and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And will that bring us a new automobile, a new house, or money in the bank? That's between you and the Lord. But I can assure you of one thing, it will certainly bring a peace of heart and contentment with the things that you have. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, Paul said this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith," what? Content. Content. God didn't promise to meet your wants. He promised to meet your needs. Christ asked the question, "Have you any meat?" And they answered Him, "No." Do you remember what Christ said His meat was? Hallelujah. In John chapter 4, verse 34 and 36, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold," Jesus says, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Is today a day for Christians to hang out their sign of their door and say, "I've gone fishing"? It depends on what kind of fishing you're going to do. If you're out there to catch gain for yourself, you're wasting your time. You're not doing what Christ has called you to do. But if you're out there fishing for souls, to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, then your fishing is a wonderful thing to be about today. It all depends on the type of fishing we're talking about. Christ's disciples caught nothing that night. And in verse 6, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish." Here is a second miracle in this text. Even with the greatest talent, the best equipment, the most experienced, if you belong to Christ, without Him, you can do nothing. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and you try to accomplish anything in this world without Him, you will accomplish nothing. If you're trying to witness to somebody because you want them to come into the kingdom of God, and you run to them and you're trying to witness to them, and the Holy Spirit hasn't moved you to witness to them, you're wasting your time. You know, you've heard the term beat them over the head with the Bible. Let me promise you, you will not bring a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ by beating them over the head with the Bible. I tell you how you'll bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ by showing them the same love that Christ has shown you. Being compassionate, merciful. Certainly we want to bear the truth. Certainly we want to share with them the truth. But I'm not going to drag them by the neck into the kingdom, and neither is God. God's not going to drag anybody by the scruff of the neck, jerk them up, and pull them into the kingdom of God. Even with the greatest talent, the best equipment, the most experience, if you belong to Christ, without Him, you can do nothing. And this is why so many Christians today are not content. They seek to the world for contentment and satisfaction, and they will never be filled. They will never be satisfied. Only Christ can fill every need, not every want. Verse 7 says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved," which is John, the writer of this gospel, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes." Hallelujah. "And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there." And what did they see on that hearth? Fish. Fish. They'd fished all night, couldn't find anything. Jesus is on the shore fixing them a banquet. And by the way, by and by, when in that day when God calls His church home, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going home to a banquet, my friends. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But the Lord Jesus Christ will rise, the Bible says, at that great supper, and he'll walk around that massive table, and He'll feed every one of us, serve every one of us. He did that, you know, for 5,000. course, there was that, the Bible says 5,000 men. Well, if their families were with them, it could have been 15,000. And he didn't have a food line anywhere close by either. He didn't need food line. Verse 7 says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Let's move to verse 8. And the other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. God has a great net that he has cast out into the world. It's a strong and it's a powerful net called the gospel message. Paul tells about it in his book, in his writings to Rome, to the church at Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You and I, as laborers together with Christ, are to lend our hand toward pulling in that great net. That's our calling. Where two or three are gathered together, the Lord Jesus Christ is right there in the midst. But those two or three ought to be four, five, six. We ought to multiply as we go, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Do you remember when Peter first heard that Jesus Christ was going to be delivered to the church, to the Jews, and then he was going to be betrayed to the Jews, and then he was going to be crucified? You remember what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, I love you. I love you more than all of these, and I'm going to be willing to die for you. Isn't that what Peter said? How much do you love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Are you willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter was so bold about how he was going to serve Christ, what he was going to do for Christ. I think it's wonderful here that the Lord permitted the meal to be finished before he turned and began to question Peter. And by the way, he's questioning Peter. He's asking these questions of Peter publicly. When Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ publicly. When he made that boasting claim that he loved Jesus more than these, more than his brothers, he did that publicly. And so here, the Lord gives Peter an opportunity again, publicly, to brag, to make outrageous statements, or to confirm his love for the Lord Jesus. But he waits till the dinner's over. So when they had dined, verse 15, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my lambs. My friends, you and I, as adult Christians, need to be aware of the fact that we are examples for little lambs, little folks. We need to set the example for the little folks, when they grow up, they'll be solid Christian workers as well. But also, that God is talking here about those that have just come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be 80, 90 years old, and they've just given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus is talking about new converts as well. We need to feed the new converts. We need to provide to them the Word of God and share with them the Word of God. Verse 17, he saith unto him, or verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Christ said unto him, Feed my sheep. In verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Peter said unto him, Lord, and here is the key, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Is there any boasting in Peter? Is there any outrageous statement from Peter about his sincere desire to serve God and he loves God more than anybody else? I'm always skeptical of people who come to me talking about how close they are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the best that you can say this morning, my friends, and to be honest about it, is that you love the Lord. Any boasting beyond that, I promise you, comes from the devil. Comes from the devil. Peter wasn't boasting anymore. He said, Lord, you know my heart. And if God knows my heart, I can tell you what, God knows how wicked and deceitful and miserable sometimes my heart is. And your heart is too. And the best that we can say, and the most wonderful thing that we can be assured of, is that we do love the Lord. But anything beyond that, I believe, is boasting. Finally, the Lord said in verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, Peter, thou girdest thyself and walkest with whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. Will you note that the Lord says, Peter, you're going to have a long life. You're going to grow old. All through that life, you'll be a great testimony for me. You will. You will. You love me, and you'll be sharing me with others. You'll be a great testimony for me. But there's coming a time when there's going to be somebody that's not going to be, it's going to be so upset with you and with me that they're going to bind your hands and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. And we know that Peter was crucified upside down. Initially, they were going to crucify him straight upright, just like his Lord and Master. But Peter, tradition tells us that Peter refused to be crucified like his Lord. And so they turned the cross upside down and crucified Peter upside down. In verse 19, Thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, Peter, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus has given you a mission. Jesus has given you a gift. Jesus has given me a gift. If I'm falling all over myself trying to do your gift and trying to get your gift, I'm not going to be doing what Christ wants me to do. And the Church of Jesus Christ will suffer because of it. We need to find out what it is that Jesus has called us to do and do that very thing. And the same message, that same message applies to the disciples who, when Peter said, I'm going fishing, what'd they do? They followed right along with him. God help us that somebody doesn't stand up and say, I'm going to do this, and then we say, well, we're going to do it too, without first finding out whether that's what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord said, don't worry about what he's going to do. You do what I call you to do. You do what I call you to do. Verse 23 says, Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that disciple, John, should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Don't worry about his mission. You get on with your mission. And then finally in verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. Is this John's opinion? Did John say, this is my opinion? He said, we know that this is the truth. because he's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. It is our calling as Christians to preach the gospel from pulpit or post, in our walk and in our talk. And the gospel message is for all. It's for young and old. And listen, the harvest is white. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. Look at Sunday school last Sunday. We understand 35 because so many of our ladies were up in the mountains. Wouldn't it be nice to see that up to 70, 80, 100? 100? You know what Sunday school is? It's an opportunity to come together, just a fellowship around God's Word, and to learn from God's Word, and to have an opportunity to fellowship together before the worship hour. Charlie has knocked himself out trying to get folks to come and participate. Today we had 57. Be nice to have the fellowship come together even more so than just 57. Because there's probably an active 100 and some members of Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church that are on the active list. Only 57 of them got to Sunday school this Sunday. Some of them are unable to be here. But listen, let me tell you this. You, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to lead anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you ever try to do God's work when you have doubts about your love for Him, because it's not going to happen. How do we learn about the Lord Jesus? We learn about the Lord Jesus by studying His Word. We are prepared to give answers because we study His Word. You can't give an answer if you don't know what His Word says. Peter said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the faith that lies right here." How do you do that unless you know what the Word says? What does your sign, "Gone Fishing," mean? I trust that it means that we're out there actively serving the Lord Jesus Christ, shining the light of the gospel, that others might come into the kingdom of God. That's what God says. The net is going to be heavy. Need help pulling it in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. Father, we ask Your blessing upon each one that's come this morning, Father, and we pray that the Holy Spirit ministers to our heart. Use us this week, Father, that we may be able to bring praise, honor, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily walk, and that others might see Jesus in us, Father, and that we might have that opportunity to share the gospel with one who's lost and undone without You. Father, help us not to try to outrun the Holy Spirit, but help us to wait upon the moving of the Holy Spirit, that the service might be wrought in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the flesh. Father, bless Your people this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, Amen.